So, let's do some housekeeping. First of all, somebody asked, how come you have a blue sweater? That's because I don't wear hoodies and I need a zip up, and they didn't come in that color. And I was like, what? I want the same color. And it's like, no, we can only get you a blue one. So that's why I have a blue one. I like a zip up. What? I don't even know what that was. Okay, so let's go through some housekeeping things. So first of all, let's talk about next week. Let's see if it works. We've seen this twice, I think, now.
Experiencing Jesus, the living God, He who never fails, the one who gave life. He who draws us together, the human spirit, His treasured creation, His presence within us. The human condition is designed to experience and to be moved by its creator. He wants to know us, and so He pursues, so that we, His children, may experience God.
Books are in. They're at the back table. I see lots still there. You're not going to be able to get much out of the next number of weeks. You'll learn something. But if you take it more seriously, you're going to radically change your life. And that's what this is about. It's not about just walking with Jesus and just going, oh, it's just a game we play. It's actually meaningful. And so it's important for us to take our walk with Jesus seriously. So, books are back there. If you did not pay for one yet, but you are going to follow along with us and do the study, please take one tonight, because tonight we start our first set of readings. There's 5 readings per week. So, this week you're going to read day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5 of the first lesson. And so next week we'll be able to discuss what it is that you have been learning. So again, can you come if you don't have a book? Absolutely, there will be things you will learn. You don't have to have the book in order to be growing and learning every week. However, this will prime the pump. It will get you thinking. It'll get you discussing different things in your own head so that when you do come, there's lots of great discussion. Okay? And some of the things that we're going to try to figure out is, how is it that God can be a more active part of our life? We usually grow up in Sunday school and church just believing there's a God, but we don't actually know what God's doing, and we don't actually figure out how we can be doing what God wants us to do. Oh, we know we're not supposed to sin, but God doesn't just want us not to be sinners. God wants to use us to do amazing things in this world. And so experiencing God is going to allow us to figure out, what is God doing? What does God want to do in my life? And what can I do moving forward? So many of us will say, well, God, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? And God's like, that's not the right question. The right question is, what's God doing? And you go join God and see what He's up to. That's what takes Marielle and Derek to India. That's what takes people into their schools to radically transform their schools. That's what allows one of you to walk into your school and say, hey, you and you, I want you to come to my youth group, because God's doing something and you want those around you to be part of it. So my prayer, and I've been praying this since last year, is that this group will be 100 by June. Now, it's not about the number. It's about you radically understanding your faith and going, I've got to share this. I've got to tell people about what God is doing in my life and how God can change their lives. Because if you're just trying to sell them something like, oh, it's a fun place, you get some snacks, you play a game, they can go to the rec center and do that. They can go to any kind of club and get that. What we're offering is something that you can't get anywhere else, and that is an experience with God. an opportunity to build your life on the purposes and plan that God has for their life or for your life. So you got a big task to do. It means everybody's got to at least bring one more person, if not two, by the end of June, and invite them to come and experience the God that hopefully you're going to experience in the next 7 or 8 weeks as we do this book. So tonight, before you leave, if you haven't got one, you should get one and take it home with you and start the reading. So next week will be our first series talk on that. So that's coming up. Let's see, where were we at? So we're right now on the last session of our discipleship series. For those of you that have been missing them, they're all up on the website, all the first three audios. So make sure you go back, take a look at what you've missed, because they are sequential. They do build on one another. So in the first week, we learned that God created us for a unique love relationship with Him. And I talked about the number one problem that we have in the world today is that people do not understand who their identity is. They're placing their identity in how they look, how they dress, what they're good at. And that's never the way that God intended for us to have identity. He designed us to have identity in Him. In the beginning, God created male and female, and He created them in His image in order for us to be in relationship with Him. So that was our first lesson. We then went to when Christ calls you to Him, He sends you out to find other people and share what you have. And the question is, when was the last time you shared your faith with someone? Or invited someone to come to church with you and to hear about your faith? It's a scary thing. And for some of you, you would think, I'll never do that because I don't want people to know that I go to church. Now, for some of us, we're going, good, because you are a terrible example of what a Christian should be. But is that your reason? Because you'd rather swear, hang out, have sex, do the drugs, do all the drinking, do all the parties with your friends so that you can have that double life? Or are you going to say, no, my walk is with Jesus, and I'm okay with telling people that because that's what makes me unique and different, and I'm going to invite them to what you have rather than you going to what they have? So that was our second lesson. Our third one was we've got to share this love and good news with the people around us. And tonight we're going to look at how can you transform your daily devotional life. So how many of you try to read the Bible every day? Anybody? A couple of you? Don't be ashamed of that. That should be something you're proud of. Okay? So we try to. Some of us have tried in the past and we've just gone, I just don't get anything out of it. It's not a book that I can really get a hold of. It's just complicated. I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And we've had bad experiences maybe where people have said, oh, you've got to read this much every day. And we've tried and we've not gotten very successful at it. And so what we have to understand is that a devotional life, a transformational devotional life, includes two things every day. Prayer and, oh, that wasn't the right slide. Prayer and reading our Bibles. We have to know God's word because that's what we believe. Remember, who am I? What do I believe? If we don't know God's word, we have no idea what we believe. So then when the world we're in, and at school, our biology teacher tells us one thing, and we're like, oh, that kind of sounds right. Maybe what the Bible's been teaching me or what I've been learning in church is wrong. If we don't know what the Bible actually says, it makes it a little challenging when people challenge what we think. We've got to know what the Bible says. We've got to. It's just part of who we are. So we're going to look at prayer and our verse this week that we have to memorize. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you two who belong to Christ Jesus. So he's saying, look, be joyful. Never stop praying. This is the life I've called you to. And that's the life we want to discover more and more about. So let's see tonight. Here's your question. What's the most difficult thing for you that you have to do every day? Go, talk to your neighbor. What's the most difficult thing?
Yes.
All right, now the bigger question. What habit have you had trouble either starting or stopping? What is the habit in your life that you've had trouble starting or stopping? All right, let's start. What is a habit you've had trouble stopping? Who would like to share? What's a habit? Yes. Okay, well, that's not a habit. You have to get up in the morning. We're looking for a habit. Yes. Sleeping in would be one that's hard to stop. Yes.
Going on my phone.
Going on your phone all day. Okay. Yes. Okay. That's a bad habit. Hanging out with friends instead of doing homework. Yeah.
Not talking to people before hitting them.
Oh. That's.
Because I did that in school.
Yeah. That's not good when you're hitting people. No, that wouldn't be a good thing. For me, it was always biting my nails. I don't know. Just needed to bite my nails. Yes. Oh, yeah, that's a terrible habit. You should stop that. Yeah. What about habits that are hard to start? Okay, now you could always go with the opposite. Well, it's hard to start doing my homework. Start getting up in the morning. But we're looking for something a little more significant than that. Something that's hard to start. Okay, so public speaking, that could be hard to start. What else?
Start praying for people who are having hard times.
Oh, that's a hard thing to do. Yeah, praying for people.
Praying out loud in front of groups.
Okay, praying out loud is a hard thing to start. Yes. Okay, there are so many things in this world that are hard. They're hard to start and they're hard to stop. And so this is what makes a devotional life so challenging, is that we know that God wants us to pray and he wants us to read our Bible. But those are hard things to start and to become habits. See, some of us are good at reading our Bible when we're here. Maybe. I see very few Bibles in church anymore. So yet, isn't that where you're going to study the Bible? So we don't see Bibles much. Many of you, when we say, oh, grab your Bible, you run over to the shelf to get one from over there. And some of you have been Christians for a long time. And you should have your own Bible that's marked up, that's filled with notes, that's got highlights in it, that you have been studying it and preparing for one day when maybe you won't have it. Maybe we'll not be able to use our Bibles anymore in Canada. And then what are you going to do? Because you haven't gone through it and studied it. So these are hard things. And I'm not laying guilt trips down on anybody, because they're hard for me too. When I started, I think I've told you this, I always said, I'm not a morning person, God, I'm not a morning person. And then we had a teacher strike, and we had to sign up for shifts on the strike day. And I thought, oh man, I'm signing up for the 6 a.m. shift, because I'll be done by 8 o'clock, and then I can go and spend the rest of the day up at Anvil Island or go do other things. And so I took the 6 o'clock shift, and on about the second day, God said, I thought you couldn't get up in the morning. And I was like, well, I can't normally. And he's like, yeah, well, you'll get up to go stand on a picket line, but you won't get up to spend time with me in the morning. And from that day forward, I have been getting up at 6 a.m. to make sure that the first hour of my day is spent with the Lord. And it has not been easy. There are days I hit the snooze button 2 or 3 times. There are days when I start reading and I'm just like, I just can't do this today. And God doesn't put me to shame, or I don't feel bad about it. The fact is, it's a habit. I have to keep doing it. Because they say that a habit has to be done for 40 days or more before it's secure in your system. But it only takes 1 or 2 days of not doing the habit to break it and to have to start all over again. And that's something I don't want to have to start all over. It took me a long time to get this habit, almost 50 years. I don't want to go back. Right? So for you, starting out right now in your young life and getting these habits will be very beneficial for you in the long run. So there's lots of ways you can read the Bible. There's the Bible app. A couple of you I know have just started reading the Bible through for a year. And so you've signed up on the plan, and every day it gives you what you have to read each day so you can read through the entire Bible. You should all do that at some point in your life, at least once, maybe twice. Might not be the time right now, but there should be a time when you actually go through the whole Bible because it makes more sense. You can pick up a devotional book, and there are lots of those out there. There are even devotions on the Bible app that you can sign up for each day. You can just pick a book of the Bible. Pick the book of John, pick the book of James, just read through one book. That's at least a start. But you need to do something. So here's what I thought I would do for you. This is a way that I do this, and we're going to try this. And maybe you'll see how easy this really is. A lot of times I think we have to read this, like I got to read a whole chapter. Or if I sit down, I've got to read a whole book. And that's not the case. What you need to do is sometimes just read one verse. So what's going to happen is I'm putting a verse up on the screen. It's from Matthew 16, 24 to 27. If you have your Bible, you can open up to that passage. It'll be probably easier in front of you on your Bible. If you have a Bible app, I'm okay with that, providing you're not then scrolling to your Instagram and all kinds of other things because you're getting updates. So Matthew 16, 24 to 27. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to read that verse, those two verses, three verses, over and over again for an entire 2 minutes. I don't want you to deviate off of them. I don't want you to start thinking about what they mean. I just want you to read those verses over and over again. So you would just go like this. Then Jesus said to us, to yourself, not out loud, please. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to come with me, you must forget yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. For if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. And you read it. Then you start over again from the beginning, and you read it again. When you get to the end, you go back and read it again. You should be able to, in 2 minutes, read those three verses about 15 times. That's all you're going to do. Ready? Andrew, are you ready? Okay. Andrew, you ready? Okay, because we can't have any talking during this time. You just got to focus. For 2 minutes, you're just going to keep reading those verses. If you don't have them, they're right there on the screen. That's the whole thing. Just read it on the screen. Are you ready? Here we go. So there can't be any talking, you just gotta focus, just keep reading it. And go. All right, so here's how smart you actually are. So, what did you just learn from reading that over and over again? Don't be shy. Everybody's going to learn something different because everybody read that completely differently. You would have had a focus on something completely different from somebody else. So, be bold. Speak in front of a crowd. All you have to say is one thing that you noticed in the verse. Daniel.
What verse is, there's nothing you can give to regain your life?
So, what? Why was that? Why did that stand out for you?
That stood out to me because I feel like I've heard that saying before come out of a friend, and I remember that he would say that loss, and that was the last thing his mother said to him before she died.
Okay, good. So for Daniel, that was something he found. What did you find?
It says if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it, and I feel like that's like really trying to hold on to things, but really in the end, only
for
the heaven, none of it will be with us.
Give me an example, if you can, of something you might hang on to.
You know, like home or something. You're never going to bring that to heaven.
Okay, so a device. Yeah. I can't wait to see what kind of devices God has in heaven that totally blow a phone out of the water. Like, mind thought, you know. It's not Minecraft, it's just mind thought. I can just go, poof, Jessica, and she'd go, wow, thanks, Steve, for sharing that. Make my life easier. Okay, so what else? That was a good one. We've had two. What did you notice about the verses? See, there's nobody in this room that should have read that and not have something. You just might be worried that maybe what I have isn't so profound. Maybe it's not that important. Yeah, it is. Because that was God speaking to you as you read that passage. So what did he say to you? I don't want to pick people, you know, because I can embarrass. But what did you just read? What word, what phrase stood out to you? I'm a teacher. I'm good at waiting. Renzel.
24. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's like, it spoke to me because it's like, I have to also do the same walk that Jesus did, where he had to carry his cross up to his own death. And that's like what he's asking of me.
Think about, I mean, that's just a tiny cross, but think about Jesus carrying his cross up to his death. And he's saying to you, that's what you have to do every day. What is your cross? What is it that you have to give up in order to follow Jesus? What is it going to cost you? Because for many of you, it hasn't cost you anything, Jessica. It hasn't cost you anything. You've had the same friends, you have the same lifestyle, you do the same things. It hasn't cost you anything. But for others of you, it's cost you a lot. It's cost you friends because they don't want to spend time with you because you're now known as the goody guy and the nerd, the one that never does anything bad. You don't want to drink, you don't want to do anything. That costs you. Costs you friendships. Might cost you time. So now you have to kind of serve and help and give to the poor and do those things that you wouldn't normally have to do if you didn't carry your cross. So that's a good one. Thank you, Renzel. Anybody else? What words or phrase stood out for you? Yes?
Verse 25 where it says, for if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. I think that just stood up to me because a lot of the time, I think, like me personally, when you try to find your own way in life, like you you want to live it your way and you don't want to live the life that God has for you. And even sometimes it's like, okay, I'll read the Bible, but I'm going to take bits and pieces of it and then make it my own and then live my life your own way. But like how God's saying, you can't live for yourself because you will lose your life.
Mm-hmm. And so many people try to live for themselves. You're trying to balance two different worlds. You're trying to be a disciple, but you're enjoying what the world has to offer. And God says, you're not going to win that way. You're going to lose your life. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can try and you can be successful for many years, but at some point, it's not going to work. And the worst place you want it not to work is when you're standing at the judgment seat and God says to you, do you actually know me? And you're like, I think I do. And he's like, mm-mm, see ya. Over there. And you'll be like, I was sure I went to church. I went to youth. He's like, that's not what matters. What matters is, did I give my life to him and lay it down? And say, it's not my life anymore, God, it's yours, and then follow what he commanded. Doesn't mean I'm perfect, or you're perfect, but it does mean that God's life comes before our life. We've given that up, we've put it aside, and we've said, God, I'm following you. That's what a true disciple is. So that's an example of how to read the Bible. It didn't have to be big. It was 3 verses. Don't think you have to read a ton of the Bible. You just need to pick a passage and think about it and think about what God's saying to you in that passage. Now, it's really good at your age to then double check that with somebody who's been a Christian for a little longer than you. Because you could have read that and gone, oh, okay, if I want to gain anything and win the whole world, then I think I just want to gain anything, right? I'm just going to go for it. It's like, where did you get that, right? That ain't Jesus talking to you. That's the devil, right? So we always have to have a check and balance. Say, was that accurate? I'm going to check with somebody. So that's Bible study. It's really easy. I think we complicate it and we make it really too hard. The Living Bible is another translation. And if you have the Bible app, it's always good to read it in your own Bible. And then say, I want to see what the Message says. I want to see what the Living Bible says. I want to see what the Good News Bible says. Because a lot of those Bibles were written to make the language easier for you. And so if the Bible you're reading isn't easy, then look at some alternate versions. Okay? So that's that one. We just did it. You can prayer. There's lots of different ways to pray. We don't have time to go through those, but you will in your small group. So, what are you going to commit to as we finish this first set of discipleship lessons? Are you going to really be a disciple? Do you really care? Because for many of you, you've been playing a game for a long time. And we still welcome you here. We're not going to say, hey, get lost if you're playing a game. But at some point, it's time to put your big boots on and grow up and say, I actually love Jesus. And therefore, I have to change who I am and what I'm doing to get in line with what Jesus wants for my life. I have to start telling people about Jesus. I have to start reading my Bible, praying. I have to start looking at my life and saying, what do I have to eliminate from my life? What bad habits do I have that God would not be proud of or happy that I'm doing? That's the hard work of being a Christian. And if I have to get this group down to 6 people who actually want to love Jesus, then we'll start seeing God do amazing things because we got 6 people who love Jesus. Right now, I think we have a bunch that love Jesus, but I think we got a lot of bunch of that are just, we're just hanging out and having fun. That's great. We welcome you. But I'd love to see you discern to take a serious step and say, okay, God, this is it. I'm going to start to follow you as best I can as opposed to just having fun. So in your small group, you're going to look at those things today. We're going to come back, small group leaders, at exactly 8:25 because we have a little special something to do at 8:25. So we need everybody back here at 8:25. So set your phone alarms or your watch alarms to make sure you come back. So you've got 25 minutes in your small group to process through what we just talked about. And then we'll see you back at 8:25. Well, you're going to have to because I have another person to talk to right now.
She's like, no. Wait.
No phone calls.